All right. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Appreciate our staff. We had to do that while Pastor wasn't here. So he always wants to sing with us. And not practice with us. So he always wants to jump up here. So we had to do it while he wasn't here. Y'all don't tell him. He's not going to watch this. Trust me. Yeah. Well, I praise the Lord for what he's done in our life. And, you know, we serve a great God. We do. I'm always amazed at what he does. And I hope that you are too. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll talk about things not to be ignorant of. And tonight we'll talk about persecution. Don't be ignorant of persecution. And I believe we're going to see greater persecution before the day of Christ comes, before he raptures us out. I believe we're going to see greater days ahead. I agree with Pastor. I think we have a space of grace right now. And I think next election could probably go a bad way. We don't know. We don't know what God's will is. But we're always say we're one politician away from losing all of our rights. And we'll lose our Bibles. And I believe there's going to be a day, if the Lord doesn't return, that you will be persecuted beyond measure for what you believe in. And this becoming more and more of a hate speech. The Bible, who would have ever thought 20 years ago that the Bible would be considered hate speech? I don't know about you, but I think it's love speech myself. I think you can't get no greater love than saying Jesus Christ loved you enough, or God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son for you. It's shown throughout the Bible why he gave us, but people just don't like preaching anymore. And the reason is because they want to see who they are, and I said that Sunday night. But things not to be ignorant of. Look, if you will, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints in all Achaia. Now, as we look at the first verse, Paul reinstating to the church at Corinth, and apparently if you read the history of Corinth, they may have had some problems with Paul. Number one, they were Gentiles, he was a Jew. But also, too, he was the one who used to persecute the church and on all these things. And so we know that he is stating here, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's stating what he is. He is an apostle. But notice that next statement, by what? The will of God. Now notice what he says, by the will of God. And that's very important to understand what Paul is trying to get across here, but that he was not chosen by man. He was not self-picked. He was picked by God to be an apostle, to speak on behalf of God. And so as we look at this this chapter, we'll see that Paul is stating his authority. Now read verse 2. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, thank God for that, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God never saved you to be selfish. God never gives you grace to store up grace. God gives you grace so you can show somebody else grace. God doesn't bless you monetarily with money and things like that just so you can hoard it. He gives it to you so you can give to others. God gives mercy to you so you can give mercy to others. God gives love to you so you can give love to others. He gives faith to you so you can give faith to others. It's a cycle that we ought to be in. And God says, I comfort you in this tribulational time, and the reason I'm comforting you so you can do it to somebody else. The reason we learn the Bible is so we can teach somebody else also. There's too many people out there that like to study the Bible so they can go, I know more than you. Not you, Brother Feaser. But you were just an inanimate object over here. You know. That's the society we live in. But notice what Paul says in verse 5. He says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering. Now that salvation is not salvation of getting saved. It's getting rendered out of something or brought out of something. Okay, notice what he says, suffering we suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is your consolation and salvation. Verse 7 says, "And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation." In other words, you're gonna suffer, but just as much suffering as you're going to get, it's just as much comfort you're going to get. You ever thought about that? That's the way God works. And we'll look at that here in a little bit. Now notice verse 8, because here's our text verse. "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Now, you study your Bible, we really don't know. And of course, we know that the churches of Asia Minor were popping up and they were all over that Paul started. But we don't know exactly what he is talking about here. We know that he was beaten with a whip. We know that he was, in Acts chapter 19, I believe it is, it talks about the riot that happened there because they were unbelieving and they wanted to kill Paul. And we see a lot of things. He was shipwrecked. We see that he probably faced some disfigurement of his body. But we don't know exactly what he's going through. And this is not our focus tonight. Our focus is we're all going to go through things. We're all going to go through persecution. We're all going to go through tribulation. We're all going to go through trials. And we have to see tonight, how do we deal with those situations when we're placed in them? Well, we don't do like many, tuck tail and run. Amen. I've told you this before, but you know it's true. Go knock on the door, somebody hadn't been here in a while, and I said, "Well, preacher, we've just been going through a lot lately." And you want to go, well, first of all, join the crowd. And all of us, our things that we go through are different. But the second thing you want to say, why are you out of church? Why are you away from the very source of people and the source of preaching that you need to help you through that time? And don't go bury your head in the sand, because when you pick your head up, that trouble's still going to be there. And I was raised in a family of alcoholism. We call it drunkenness. And my family thought the way you dealt with problems is that you drink your way out of them. But guess what? When they woke up the next morning, maybe not next morning, around lunchtime the next day, guess what? Those troubles had multiplied. Amen. There were times I had to go down to the jail and fix problems for them. Actually, I didn't. Just go down there and say hey to them. You don't bail them out. Leave him in there for a little while. That was my mom's theory. Leave him in there. Let him learn. And as the younger brother, I would go, yeah. Because I'm thinking of all the things he did to me when I was little. I'm just kidding. I did not think that way too often. Okay? But tonight I want to talk about don't be ignorant of persecution. Father, we love you. Thank you tonight. And God, I do thank you for loving me. Lord, I certainly need your help tonight. Lord, I yield myself to you, to your will, to the Spirit tonight, to do a working in our hearts. And God, may your word go forth, Lord, as that sounding trumpet. Lord, may it, Lord, just trumpet into our hearts tonight. And God, may we not be hearers of your word only, but doers of your word. Father, I pray you'd help me now, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, during this time, the Christians were persecuted beyond belief. We know that Nero and the Roman Empire was great. We know that they brought about a lot of persecution during the first church the early church time. And we know that they were persecuted beyond measure. But we also know in this scripture that Paul was also, it wasn't something that was popular in that day. You say, how do you know that? Because Jesus hung on a cross. That tells us that it wasn't a popular thing to be associated with who? With Jesus Christ. They hated Christ, and guess what? They're going to hate me and you too. The world, you know what's happened to our world? Our world is, there's lost people everywhere, and now they're in power places and in political places and all these things, and it's more vocal today. Used to, if you said that you were a non-believer, you would be ashamed of that. But now to be a non-believer is to wear the badge of honor. Isn't that amazing? I mean, to talk about being an atheist back in, 20, 30 years ago was almost unheard of. People just were that. They didn't speak it a lot. It's kind of like if you were homosexual back in the day, it used to not be a thing you talked about. It was just in the closet. But now it's a badge of honor if you're different, right? If you're in the darkness, people go, woohoo! Hello? If you're walking the light, people go, oh man, they're bigots and they're hateful and they're this and they're this. We don't want none of that in our... That's why, you know, they don't want you to pray anymore in Jesus' name. Why? Because that's offensive to them. And as the day gets closer of Jesus Christ, we're going to see more and more and more persecution placed upon me and you. Now, I believe all this will apply even in this time of trials and tribulations that we all go through. I want to read these couple of verses, but in 1 Corinthians 3:4, it says, "For verily, when we were with you, we were told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it has come to pass, and you know." In other words, Paul was saying to the church at Thessalonica that we're going to suffer persecution. There is no doubt. As a matter of fact, the more you love Jesus, the more the world will hate you. I was told this many years ago, is that if you ever want to find out a true test of a Christian, find out who's being persecuted the greatest. Tell me that ain't true. The more Christ-like men you are, the more the world will hate us. By the way, remember that the prince and power of this air is the devil. He hates the Lord Jesus Christ. He hates anything associated with Him. And the more you stand for Christ, the more you're going to suffer this persecution and go through these trials. Now, Romans 5:3 says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." In other words, Paul said that going through tribulations is a good thing. Going through persecutions is a good thing. Why? Because there's a reason why you're going through that. If you don't want to stand for Christ, guess what? You escape through this world and never one time will anybody ever make fun of you. If you want to raise your kids without Christ, guess what? Nobody ever, but I guarantee you raise your kids to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and people will say things about your kids. I used to love whenever we were in a restaurant or somewhere and somebody come over to our table and say, "Boy, you got well-behaved kids. Boy, that was a compliment to me. Hallelujah. Boy, your kids are dressed right. That's a good... I like those kind of comments." But you know what? I know that as the world gets worse, acts worse and worse, those comments aren't going to come anymore. For Christmas, we usually do, "If you pray, I'll pay." And it's just a thing I started many years ago that during Christmas season, we usually take our family out to eat. And I'll look for somebody who prays over their food and I'll pay for their food. Just something I've done. And I think I told y'all maybe, first year we went to the Hibachi Grill. Bad idea. That's expensive. There wasn't many of us there. And there was a family over here, a family of five, something like that. And I sat over there and I was sick. I had something wrong with my throat, so I couldn't hardly talk. So I sat there and I ate my food and I watched them. He ordered an appetizer, they ordered this and that. And then here it come time, they prayed. I acted like I didn't see it. Then my wife reminded me. I was like, "Yeah, I don't know." And so the Lord pricked my heart. "Hey, you said it." And so they did. And so as I got the ticket anyway, the long story short, they found out that I paid for their meal. And we just rejoiced together. And he told his kids, and this is a true story because his kid said it when she came back to the table. He said, "I told my kids," and I said, "I really don't know how we're going to afford this, but we're going to do it because I want my family to spend time together." Ain't that amazing how God works things out? But you know what? Last year, year before last, and this past Christmas, I didn't find one person that prayed for their food. Of course, I was at McDonald's and Taco Bell, amen. I had to go a little cheaper this past 2 years. We were at 7-Eleven. I didn't see nobody praying for their taco quitos. Nobody prayed over them bag of chips as they walked out. I'm like, "Yes, thank you, Jesus." It's amazing how we're living in a world that is removing themselves from Christianity. And it's going to get worse and worse. I got to give you these things real quick. Paul did not want them to be ignorant of the working of God. And he talks about a lot of things in these first few verses. I want to give a couple things. Number one, I want us to be reminded of the compassion of God. We see that in verses 2 through 3, talking about don't be ignorant of persecutions. Why? Because God's going to be there. We need to be reminded of the compassion of God. I want you to notice what he says in verse 3, or verse 2. Look at verse 2. He says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, I know you're going through some things. The church at Corinth was going through a lot of things because, number one, God was allowing them to go through it. Number two, because they were ignorant of some things. That's why we have three ignorance in the book of Corinthians. Now notice what he says in verse 3. He said, "Blessed be God, even the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now notice this, the Father of, say it, mercies. You look up that word mercies and it simply means this. It simply means, if I find it in my notes here, the same word used for compassion.
It simply means having compassion. It means having pity on people. And here's what he says, and we see the compassion of God. He gives grace and he gives that peace, but he also gives mercies. In other words, he gives compassion. He has compassion. When you're going through a trial, God cares about you just as much then as he has any other time. God has compassion upon us. And aren't you glad tonight that he has compassion upon us? Because if he didn't, we wouldn't be here, right? You know, it's easy to have compassion upon your children, but it's hard to have it upon somebody else's children. Somebody say amen right there. There again, you go anywhere and you're like, you're praying for those other kids. You know, I mean, you're praying that you don't kill them, you know, like, please, I just want to eat. I just want to get out of here and eat, you know, but you know what? They're not my kids, but you know what? The kids that we gave birth to. Guess what? I have compassion upon my kids. Why? Because I'm their father. Guess what? He's our father. And he has compassion upon us and has love upon our lives. And there's times where we think about what God does when we're in temptation. Does he sit back when we're going through trials and when we're going through persecution? And does God go, whoo, yeah, I'm glad they're going through that. I don't believe so. I don't believe God sits up in heaven and watches us go through trials and tribulations and persecutions and go, well, I better just, you know, go over here and do something else. No, he has compassion upon us during those times. What's the big deal about God having compassion upon us? Well, I believe it's the very truth of knowing that God is not going to allow anything to happen in our life that he has not willed. And that's what compassion does upon our life. I want to show you number two. We are reminded of the comfort of God. Notice, if we have the last part of verse 3. Paul said, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations. Listen tonight, you may be going through something tonight, and I don't know what it is. Don't have to know what it is. But I'll tell you this, we have a God in heaven that will comfort you during those times. You know what I realized, and I realized this pretty early in life, and probably all of you have realized this, is that God doesn't shield us from everything, does he? Sometimes God allows us to go through things. But I want to remind you that you'll never go through anything God doesn't go through it with you. Amen. God will never send you through something and wait on you on the other side. God will go through it with you, and God will comfort you during those times. I think back in my life, how in the world did I get through the situation in my life? How did I get through this time in my life? How did I get through that trial and that tribulation in my life? Well, because God had compassion upon me, and because God cared for me, and he comforted me during that time. God just doesn't comfort us after we get through with the trial. He comforts us sometimes in that trial, in that persecution. The comfort of God is not something that comes upon us outwardly, but it's something that happens inwardly. Why? Because he said, if I go away, another comforter will come. Who comforts me and you? The Holy Spirit of God. And sometimes you think, I tell you what, I'm going to that church one more time, and if anything else happens, I'm quitting. Because it's always the church's fault. It just happens. But then the comfort of God takes hold of your life. And you realize that God has not forsaken you, that God has not forgotten about you, and that God doesn't just not love you, but God's taking you through this trial. If there's anything I've learned about trials, we need them. You say, are you volunteering for one? No, sir. But I know they're going to happen. You know why? Because in trials, we are reminded of God, his power and his patience. Hello. He has patience upon us, and we experience the peace of God during those trials. We need that. We need persecution. You know what? The greatest time that we're ever going to see in America is when the church is persecuted. When 9/11 happened, people started flocking back to church, didn't they? You say, are you asking for another 9? No, I'm not. But I am saying this, is that what will it take for God to get America's attention? We could have another dictator over our world. We can move to China or we can move to North Korea. Hello. But you know what? Is that what it's going to take? Is it going to take that in order for us to be reminded of the comfort of God in our life? During a trial, during a time of persecution, God comforts us. You know, I remember as a child, I'll use my brother as an example. I never did this, but when my brother used to get hurt, he would cry. I don't know why. Sissy. I spent the last 2 days with him, by the way. And so he would cry, and then he was mama's boy. Who would have thought? My mama here, I'll say one of us. One of us cry, and guess what mama would do? Mama would come in there and pick us up, carry us to the couch or carry us to the table and say, okay, what's wrong? Well, now when we got older, she didn't do that. She'd say, suck it up. Mama always said two things about us when we got older. Is it bleeding or is it sticking out? She meant bones or brain matter. And she's like, well, but when we were little, she would comfort us, wouldn't she? Just like any mother would. Your child starts crying, you pick them up out of that crib, and you put them in your arms, and you pat them, or you feed them, or whatever, you clean them, whatever they need. Why? You're comforting your child. You know, I've been at accident scenes before that have involved teenagers, and to see mom and daddy show up on scene, and they try to comfort their children, or whatever the case may be. And we want that comfort. And guess what, God? God offers us that comfort. Let me give you the last thing about persecution. Don't be ignorant of these things. Why? Because sometimes we forget about the compassion of God. We forget about His love and His compassion for us. We forget about His comfort. But the next thing, we are reminded of our confidence in God. Notice verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 and 10 says, he was talking about that we despaired even so much of life. And then in verse 9 he says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. In other words, Paul's saying, just as Abraham believed God, and he believed that if he gave Isaac as a sacrifice, that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. Well, here Paul said that we had our trust not in ourselves, but we had our trust in what? In God. That if we were to die, that would be God's will, that's okay. But God spared their life. And so we got to be reminded of the confidence, of our confidence in God. Knowing that what? He has everything in control. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death and doeth deliver, in whom we trust, there's the word, that he will yet deliver us. We see that word trust, that word trust and confidence goes hand in hand. You see, I don't have confidence in anything else but my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You ever put trust or confidence in somebody and they let you down? Hello, that happens about every day, doesn't it? I know I'm not that old, but I remember when you could shake hands, and that meant a lot. Hello, I'm from the country. You shook a guy's hand. I remember buying stuff and going to the guy's house, shaking his hand, saying, I'll be back tomorrow, pick it up. And he'd shake hands. We'd look at each other in eyeballs, and I'd come back, pick it up the next day. You shake somebody's hand today, you might as well just wash your hand and be done with it. Because it means absolutely nothing. Why? Because we can't put our confidence in man. Paul said, I can't put my confidence anywhere else or my trust anywhere else. I have to put it in God. You ever notice when we go through trials, the first person we put confidence in? You ever notice that when trials and persecution and tribulation and all this begins to happen in our life, we go trust everything else? I better call 1-800-HELP-ME. Because they're going to be able to help me. Don't try to dial that, by the way. I don't think that's a real number. I saw Brother Cox back there dialing that. Brother Cox, that's not a real number. Be careful what you dial. You may get a telemarketer. But you see, what happens is that when we go through trials and when we go through tribulations, we start reaching for things instead of giving up and having our confidence in Him. You see, I will fail you. Pastor Crawford will fail you. Fieser and all these guys, We're prone to fail you. But I promise you, God will never fail you. You can put your confidence in Him. I don't put my confidence in my vehicles. You know why? Because it may not start when I get out there. Hello? I got to tell a story about, we were taking Pastor's boat. Staff guys were going out, and Pastor had to leave for some reason. So we were going to take his boat and go fishing. I was like, no, Pastor, and I got his boat. Hallelujah. Lord was smiling upon us. I'm just kidding, by the way, in some ways. But, because Pastor's ready, he doesn't like to fish as long as I do. He's ready to go pretty early, so we were going to stay anyway. But, so we got in there, and I put the boat down in there, and I went, whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. I was like, this boat only cranks for Pastor. I mean, I've been on that boat For 10 years I've been on that boat. Never failed me. Never one minute in time in my life did I ever think, I'm going to get in there and it ain't going to crank. I put my confidence in it. Well, you know what? It wasn't the boat that let me down. It was me. I forgot to put the safety switch on. We spent 2 hours pulling spark plugs, working on the engine, and some smart aleck guy comes walking by that was a mechanic. He said, have y'all tried putting the safety switch in there? Like, no. I really wanted to say, well, of course we have. That can't be it. Go along, sir. We got it, you know. But you see, even, you know, material things are going to let you down. People will let you down. But always God will be there. Sometimes we feel like He's not, but He is. I know this is a repetitive verse and we hear it all the time. But Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God said, no matter where you go, I'll go with you. When you go on trials, God will go with you. Listen, I've not been through great trials. I've been through a few in my life, and there's some of you that have been through things, and I go, whoa, whoa, God's good. I know people that go, it seems like they just go through, you know, cycles of trials. And it seems like once they get out of one, they go right back into another. It's just, you know, crazy. I've seen pastors that go through these things and I'm going, wow, how do they go through it? Well, it's because their confidence is not in man. It's not in themselves. It's in God. It's in a holy God. Our trust should always be in the Lord. We're so quick to trust everything else in this life except for Him. Why would we not trust Him? We trust Him that He saved us. By the way, that's the greatest miracle that can ever happen to anybody. That God can save you. Him bringing you out of a trial is a thimble compared to the ocean of salvation. That if God can take you from death to life and take the wrath of God off of your life, taking you and comforting you and helping you through a trial, it's just a thimble compared to those things of salvation. We must put our confidence in God. And in going through these trials, we are reminded that our confidence is only in the Lord. Tonight, I don't know what you're going through. Short message tonight. But I will promise you this, that God loves you tonight. There's nobody here tonight that God's mad with in such a way that He would take His hand off of you, hopefully. But God loves you. If you're going through a trial tonight, you're going through persecution, God loves you tonight. Number two, I want you to be reminded that He will comfort you during that and through that journey of that trial, that persecution. That's what Paul was telling the church at Corinth. He said, God will comfort you. He's the God of all comfort. How much comfort do you need tonight? He's got it all. You know, the other time that it says all, He's a God, all grace, all sufficiency of God. But I want you to think about the last thing is our confidence. Is that when we go through trials and we go through tribulations, by the way, you ever look back on your life and go, how did I make it through that? Anybody else do that? I do it all the time. I mean, seriously, I look back on things and I go, whoa, God is good. You know what it does for the next trial? It builds my confidence in Him. And the next time, confidence is greater. And before you know it, you're just trusting Him and not even thinking about it. Yeah, and, you know, thinking, well, you're thinking about it, but you're not, you know, you're not thinking about doing other things and trusting in other things. You're like, God, you got this. Sometimes it gets super dark. Super dark. Sometimes it gets super quiet. Sometimes it gets super long. But know one thing, God's in control. God will see you through. And His timing. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And He's working on you tonight. Let's stand. His bowed eyes closed. Father, we love You. Thank You for Your grace and thank You for Your mercy to us. Lord, thank You that You do have compassion upon us in these trials and these tribulations that we go through. God, thank You for Your comfort. But God, thank You that we can have confidence in You tonight. Lord, I certainly love You and I ask that You take the words that's been preached now and Lord, just apply it upon our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 163.